So much as we spoke about in terms of the malach of gozes, how it plays out in terms of cutting hair and cutting nails, we said that at the end of the day, it seems to be machlekes harishonim. Really, a three-way machlekes harishonim. How we view cutting of nails and hair in light of the malach of the derais of gozes. According to Tosfos, it came out lahalacha that gozes derais is not going to be violated most of the time because you're not interested in using the hair or the nails. So it's always going to fall into the category of malach hashen tzrich legufa. He said the Ramban had a redefinition of malach hashen tzrich legufa. He said that we can define it, at least vis-a-vis malachas gozes, concerning the person as well. So even though it's not the tzorach, the nails, but it's the tzorach, the person. And the Rivash came to the same conclusion as the Ramban, albeit for a different reason. The Rivash emphasized the idea of Mishkan, that since in the Mishkan itself the act of gozes was being done also to beautify the skin, so huadinami, gozes, to beautify the person, but also qualify as a malacha deraisa. So three different possibilities. Are we dealing with derabanan legamre? Are we dealing with deraisa? One or two possibilities. So we left off with a question at the end of the shiur yesterday. We might have to be on the demon. No one's got their nails in Shabbos. No one's got their hair in Shabbos. So why does it make a difference deraisa derabanan? So we said that sometimes you find a situation where the halacha insists, or the minig yisrael insists, that a person cuts their nails, such as a woman before she goes to the mikvah. And the question becomes, what if she forgot to cut her nails on Friday? Are there any grounds to permit it under any circumstances on Friday night? So before we can understand the Hilchos Shabbos part of that shaila, we still didn't complete the Hilchos Mikvah part of the shaila, namely, just how important is it for the woman to cut her nails in the first place. So we quoted, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, that the primary reason for cutting the nails before going to the mikvah is to avoid chatzitza problems, because we're afraid lest there's some dirt under the nails, and since it's not always so easy to tell at what point the dirt is chotzitz, but it's not chotzitz, so therefore, as a minig Yisrael became across the board to cut the nails. But there is a second reason why the nails are cut as well. That's, we go back to the seventh in the Marmakomos. We left it kind of hanging. So the seventh in the Marmakomos, so after the Shulchan Aruch said in Sif Yud Ches that you have to cut your nails in order to avoid dirt under the nails, in the second half of number seven, in Sif Chaf, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Davka botzik shetach tzitipar n'chaitzitz. The only thing that we're concerned about with nails is the dirt itself. In this case, the dough, who was baking challah, so some of the dough is stuck under our nails. So those kinds of things are potential chatzitzas. The nail itself is not a chatzitza. Even if the nail is very long and she's due to cut her nails, parachas bi'averas bi'keneged abosar. It's protruded way past the fingers. She has very long nails. Ein chatzitzas. It's not a chatzitza. That's like long hair, long nails. That's not considered to be a davar chatzitz. That's natural. It's all connected to a person's body. That's not considered to be a chatzitz at all. Hagah comes the Rama and says, "Miukolze davka she'ein so botzik tachta b'shas shetovla." So says the Rama. By the way, when the Shulchan Aruch just told you that very long nails are not a problem, that's assuming that they're clean. So far, we haven't seen anything new. So far, we're still chazving over yesterday's concern of dirt or dough or other things under the nail itself. But the nail proper doesn't seem to be a problem at all. But now comes the Rama and throws a little bit of a curveball at us. So comes the Rama and says, since the minhag olam is that the women rightfully so cut their nails today before they go to the mikvah, afiluim tziporin achas nisher biyada v'tavla, what if she forgot to cut one of her nails? When she forgot to cut her nails, or she forgot to cut one of the nails, and she tovels the way it is, tzricha tefila cheres, she has to tovel a second time. Why is that? The pasha is the nail is clean. The Rama didn't say that the nail is dirty. The Rama just got finished saying that since she forgot to cut the nail herself, therefore it's a problem. That seems to contradict what the Shulchan Aruch just said. The Shulchan Aruch just told us that the only problem of nails going to the mikvah is dirt or dough under the nails, but the nails and tziporaim themselves are not a problem. The Rama just turned around and said, well, since the minig is to cut the nails, therefore the nail itself is a chotzeitz, the chenog, and that's what the minig is. What in the world does that Rama mean? So the Shach explains what the Rama is quoting is based on a sheet of HaRavan. Ravan was one of the from the period of the Balei HaTosfos. So the Ravan had the following Chiddush Gadol. The Ravan said that a nail is not chotzeitz. Hair is not chotzeitz. Those are natural things growing on the body. Those things are not chotzeitz. However, says the Ravan, what if the nail is so long that it's ready to be cut? You're planning on cutting it in the next few hours. You just didn't get around to cut it yet. So comes the Ravan and says, Kol ha'omed lachtoch kechotoch dami. Anything that's about to be cut is as if it's already cut. But that's not good. It's as if it's already cut, so it's been cut off, but it's still taped on to the finger. It means it's still here, even though it's omei lachtoch. So that spells disaster, says the Rabban. If you have a regular, normal-sized fingernail that's clean, no problem. There's no chatzitza. And the nail itself is not chotzit. So that's not, meikra did not really a problem. Meaning, but it's not meikra did. But says the Ravan, and quotes the Rambam, if you have a nail itself that's supposed to be cut, it's ready to be cut, it just hasn't yet been cut. For example, a woman, she cut 9 out of the 10 nails like she's supposed to, and she left one. So obviously, the minute she finds out about it, she's going to run back and go cut that nail. That's a problem. That spells trouble, says the Rambam. Because that, we apply the principle called kol'omi lachtok yichotok dami, and therefore we view it as if it's cut, but not as if it's cut and thrown to the garbage. It's as if it's cut, and it's been now reattached back to the finger, and now it's stuck onto the finger, and now it's causing a problem of chatzitza. So it's based on this Rambam, based on this Ravan, that now the post can say we have a whole other reason why you should cut nails before you go to the mikveh. Maybe the nails are too long. Because if your nails are really omid lekach to be cut, woman has long nails, she's going tomorrow morning to get the nails cut, if she's going to go to the mikveh tonight, even if the nails are very, very clean, the nails themselves may be a chatzitza, because kol omid lach don't gechatuch tami. So we have two radically different reasons for insisting on this minig. Both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah record this minig Yisrael of cutting nails, so this crosses party lines, Ashkenaz, Mitzvah, everybody, all the women are supposed to cut the nails before they go to the mikveh, but the question is, for what concern? So the Shulchan Aruch's concern was, lest there's dirt under the nails, and the Ramah's concern was, even if there's no dirt under the nails, it's still a problem, just the very existence of long nails can sometimes spell trouble.
Is there some sort of
shear? So the shear, l'chora, is something that's omid mikol. That means it's reached the point where she's really planning on removing it. So obviously at some point everyone's going to cut the nails. But if she's going to cut her nails in 2 weeks from now, that's not a problem. But if she's going to cut her nails very, very soon, they're really due for cutting, it's just she hasn't gotten around to it yet, that could pose a problem in terms of vuchus chatzitza.
Does the Rabban say this by hair also?
Oh, very good, excellent. So the Ramah only quotes it by nails, but l'chora, it should be the same svar by hair. So let's say a woman has a normal hair, she's not due for haircut for another month, so then that's okay, that's fine. Long hair is not a chatzitza. You have to make sure it's clean, combed out, but the hair itself is not a chatzitza. But if she's due for a haircut, she's planning on going, she's going to the mikveh at 8 o'clock, and then she's going to get a haircut at 9 o'clock. That would be a problem, pashtus. So that's what the Chassam Sofer assumes in his tshuva. It's based on this that the Chassam Sofer raises a potentially very serious problem. It's not such a problem in our communities, you'll hear in a minute why, but in certain communities, this was a very, very real shaila. Chassam Sofer writes that, you know, many of the, now it's pretty much only in certain Hasidic communities, but it was more prevalent in places in Europe, where the women, after they would get married, so right after the mamash, after they got married, they would shave their heads. When was the minig to shave the heads? So the minig was usually right after Bia Rishona, after the couple would be together the first time, after the chuppah, so then they would go that night and they would get their hair, the heads would be shaved. So comes the Chassam Sofer with the following shaila. He says, a girl, she's a kala, she's going to the mikveh that day, right before her wedding. So she's going the night before to the mikveh, and now she knows she's about to get married. And she knows within the next 24 hours she's going to get her head shaved. So he says, wait a second, maybe the fact that hair is omeid to be removed, that's considered to be kala omeid lito kenopel dummy, kala omeid ligzos kengozos dummy, and that should pose a problem for hilchas chatzitza. So that would be quite a chumrah. Because here the women are cutting their, shaving their heads for whatever reasons, for tzniyas, for chatzitzas, for mikvah, for who knows what, whatever the different reasons are that they're shaving their heads. Says the Chassam Sofer, that minig of shaving your head could potentially undo the first tefillah. The tefillah al tzkala could be undone based on this Ramah, this Ravan, of kala omid lito kenotel dami. It's a chumrah, unbelievable, a chumrah. So the Chassam Sofer is malamit chus on the minig of the Hasidim to shave the heads. Again, I didn't say it's relevant to most of our communities. I think it was other Hasidim also. I think it just kind of, it may have got lost in some communities on the way to America. But I think there were, because the Chassam Sofer.
They'd be hungry then.
In Hungary, I think in Hungarian. I think in Hungarian Hasidim. I think Chassam Sofer lived in Hungary. I think this was a Hungarian then. I think you're correct in that. So the Chassam Sofer writes, no, we can be malabit chus. Yesh lahokel. If the women want to shave their heads, yesh lahokel. What's it based on? So says the Chassam Sofer, if you learn the sugyas in Masechet Zvachim, as we had to be a Chassam Sofer, learn all the sugyas of kol ha'omeid ke something dami. The Gemara is a sugya. by Zrikas Adam, Kol Omed Lizro Kizorak Dami, Kol Omed Liftos Kipadi Dami, there are a whole series of halachas of Kol Omed. So says Chassam Sofer, there's a sugi Masech HaZvachim that says that the only time you say Kol Omed is when it's not Mechusar Maisa, if there's no action that you're waiting to do. So let's say a woman goes to the mikveh at 8 o'clock with her long, long, long hair, and she's planned to go to, she's got an appointment to get a haircut at 9 o'clock. There's not Mechusar Maisa, I mean she's going out of the mikveh, walking to the hair salon, it's not called Mechusar Maisa. So she's going to come out of the mikveh, she's going to go get a haircut. So then we say, wait a second, at the time that you got your haircut, it was Omid Lital, it was about to be removed. Maybe according to this Ravan, this Ravan, it's called a Chatzitza. But Kala goes to the mikveh, and she's about to get a haircut. She's not about to get her hair shaved. She's about to get her hair shaved after she has Bias Mitzvah. That's a Maisa. It means until they have Bias Mitzvah. If they don't have Bias Mitzvah that night, so she's not going to get her head shaved so fast. So it's not Mechusa Zman, it's Mechusa Maisa. Whenever an additional Maisa is necessary in order for the next stage to take place, that's not bound by the halachic principle called Kol Omed this Kedat Dami. So Chassam Sofer dug up a Gemara, Masechet Zvachim, to be Melamed Chus, and the Hungarian Chassidim were shaving their heads after the Chasana. So getting back to the story. So most of us read this Chassam Sofer and we think, okay, what does it have to do with us? We're, this shal is irrelevant. It's relevant because you see for the Chassam Sofer, like Steve's Kasha, that he assumed that even though the Ramah only said it by nails, but what's the Svar L'chalik? It should be the same thing. So now you have the following shayla. This is a real shayla. What if you have a woman, she's not getting her head shaved, but she's getting other parts of her body shaved. She wants to shave her legs, she wants to remove other hair on her body. So she wants to do it before she goes to the mikveh. That's the normal protocol. She gets everything removed before she goes to the mikveh. She didn't, but not enough kibbutz dinner. She couldn't shave her legs that night. She's going to go to the mikveh, and she's going to come home. As soon as she comes home, she'll shave her legs then. Is that a problem or not? So according to this Chassam Sofer, that's a problem. Because according to this Chassam Sofer, that's called Kol Omed Lital Kenotel Dami. If she wasn't particularly interested in shaving her legs right now, she's going to do it in 3 days from now. So okay, so then that's like hair in the head that's just growing naturally. That's like fingernails that aren't so long. So that's for sure not a problem. But if the hair's reached a point where in her mind she's planning on doing it, she just got drained a cup, she couldn't do it before she went to the mikveh. She came home from, she came late on a plane and she's running to the mikveh at 2 o'clock in the morning and she doesn't have time to do everything. So she'll go to the mikveh and shave her legs an hour later. So says the say some poskim based on this Chassam Sofer. That's a problem. That's called Omed Lital Kenotel Dami. So others disagree with this. Others disagree with the whole Ramah. The Taz and a group of Acharenim will say that we don't really paskin like this Ravan. It's a Chumra B'Alma. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. So there are different opinions about this. The general protocol in going to the mikveh is we tell women all the preparations they want to do, whether it's cutting the hair, whether it's cutting the neck, everything should be done beforehand. Especially those things which you feel the necessity to do should not be done when you come out of the mikveh. You don't go to the mikveh and then go shave your legs. It should be the other way around. You have to just be careful. It sometimes leads for a michshol in this area because there are some women who don't like to shave. They like to remove the hair with what's called waxing. So we would normally tell a woman, do whatever waxing you want to do before you go to the mikveh. The problem is, we don't want a woman to go waxing an hour before she goes to the mikveh, because when you go waxing, some of the wax remains left on those areas. So then you're trying to solve the hair problem, then you create another problem of real chazitza. So therefore, the better recommendation, experience has shown us that the better recommendation is, a woman should try to plan her waxing the day before she goes to the mikveh. She goes to the waxing at 4 o'clock, goes to the mikveh at 5 o'clock, she's asking for trouble. Me'ika mikra, and then even if she waxed right before, and as long as she did a good job scrubbing it off, you would have a little drops of wax left, what we call a mi'at she'ena makbid. So there's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that something is only considered to be a chatzitza if it's what's called a rov ha-makbid. It has to be in most of the body, and it has to be something that she really cares about, she wants to remove. If it's only a mi'at ha-makbid, then it's only a problem with the rabbanon. If it's a mi'at she'ena makbid, then it's not even a problem at all, mi'at redin. So 99% of the time, whatever little shiraima wax is left is probably going to be ena makbid anyway, so it's not really going to be such a serious problem. But afal b'chein, the Ramah writes that lechatchila, you should remove everything. You shouldn't go to the mikveh with these little funny chatzitzas on you. So therefore, lechatchila shem lechatchila, if a woman is doing these kinds of procedures that sometimes leave a residue behind, we would recommend not to do it when you come out of the mikveh. That would be a violation of this Ramah pashtus, and not to do it otot right before you go to the mikveh, because that would be asking for more trouble in terms of chatzitza. So she has to plan time accordingly to do it in enough time that she can get it all cleaned up before him. Anyway, so getting back to the nail story. So,
but can we apply that davar shein makbid miyud to the nails in general?
You mean when there's dirt under the nails or the nails themselves?
themselves.
Well, who says it's called the davar she'ena makbid? She just cut nine of the fingernails, and actually, to be honest, she's got one fingernail left. The first thing she's doing after the mikvah is going to cut that fingernail. So that's called the davar makbid. She has long hair, so she's upset about the hair.
The question was, we said miyut ha-makbid.
Miyut ha-makbid is a problem in the Rabbanan.
If it's miyut, the item is so small, so then when I'm makbid, like the wax.
No, so okay, so that's the question. So is she makbid? Is she not makbid? So it's going to yesh v'yesh.
So
it depends on what she is. So miyut ha-makbid, the Rishonim have a question whether the definition of makbid, we use the barometer of her personal hakpada, or whether we use the barometer of the world's hakpada. And the answer to that question is that both are true. We assume in Shulchan Aruch that if either she's machped or if the oil is machped, so then either one of those would pose a problem. 99% of the mikvah shalas that come in terms of chatzitza after the fact, so very often we get a call, so the woman went to the mikvah, she's about to go to the mikvah, she's got this little speck here, she's got little this little thing, da, da, da. So I'll always ask the same question, so it's always the same routine. I said, do you care about it? So she starts to think. I say, well, let's say you weren't going to the mikvah. You weren't it for a woman. All of a sudden, you would find this on your body. What would your initial reaction be? Would your initial reaction be go run to the bathroom and rub it off and get it off? That's called a davar makbid. If your initial reaction would be, so I have a speck of wax under my foot, so what am I going to do? What should I do about it? Who cares? So if your initial reaction would be, I don't care about it, so that's called and most people wouldn't care about it, that's called a miyut she'ena makbid. So me'ika mikra din, a miyut she'ena makbid is not only not a problem in a Torah, it's not even a problem with the Rabbanan. But the Rama writes that we have a minhag that we try to get everything off because I'm sorry, we don't want to take any chances. So that's the minhag lechatchila to remove everything. But be'ika mikra din, if it's only miyut she'ena makbid, then b'di'evet for sure, it would be okay. Sometimes that minhag could potentially cause problems because you have something which is really insignificant and she doesn't really care about it, but now she's trying to get it off. She's trying to get it off to fulfill the minhag of the Rama of getting off a miyut she'ena makbid. So I'll ask her, are you makbid? She says, of course I'm makbid. So I'll ask her, why are you makbid? Because I have to get it off. So then you start talking in circles. So the answer is, that's not called the davar makbid. If the only reason why you're getting being makbid is because the Rama told you to take it off because it's a makbid, so then we say, get off the treadmill and just stop. I mean, that's not called a davar makbid. Davar makbid is defined by what would I do if I wasn't going to the mikveh tonight? What would I do if I wasn't from? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. So getting back to the story, so we have two different reasons why we insist on cutting nails before going to the mikveh. One is because of the dirt under the nails, and one is possibly, it's Ravana the Rama, maybe there's a fear of the nail itself being kleitzes. With all the concerns here, at the end of the day, it's still a minhag. It's not an absolute requirement. It doesn't appear in the Gemara, this minhag. It appears in the Rishonim, the minhag to cut the nails, so it should be observed. Because of the fact that it's only a minhag, this has led to some issues, halachic / political issues, sometimes in terms of mikvos. This is not a problem that started in Tavshin Ayin Hey. This problem goes back at least as far back as Vilna, back to the 1920s, because we have tshuvas from Chaim Hoizu who already had to deal with this problem. That as the world, whether you want to use the word progressed or degressed, regressed. So styles began to change. So women wanted to have long nails, and they wanted to have long nails with all kind of manicures and all kind of nail polish, all kind of stuff. So the question became, now you have a new phenomenon. Women are showing up to the mikvah. Again, I don't mean today, 100 years ago already. Women are showing up to the mikvah with long nails, and they're not interested in cutting the nails. So what is the approach of the mikvah supposed to be? A woman wants to go to the mikvah in violation of this minhag Yisrael, this Shulchan Aruch, this Rishonim, that they're supposed to cut the nails. What do you do? So Chaim Hayez was asked about this question. So Chaim Hayez responded in a two-pronged response. He was the Rav in, he wasn't officially the Rav of Vilna. He was the unofficial Rav of Vilna. If you were the unofficial Rav of Vilna, that means you were the Pesach Hador, pretty much. So Rav Chaim Meiser answered the question on two different levels. He said that we should obviously instruct and we should guide and we should teach that they should in fact follow this minhag, but sometimes they're not listening. So now what do you do? So Rav Chaim Meiser said you should let them use the mikveh anyway, because if you're going to be too tough on the women and tell them that you can't use the mikveh until you cut your nails, so who knows? Who knows how frum she is in the first place? So she'll say, good, I'm not cutting my nails, and I'm not using the mikveh either. So Chaim Moses says, here you're trying very hard to uphold this minhag Yisrael, and in the process you're going to cause a woman to be nichshol in issur kares. So rather than pushing her off entirely, you should try it in a very nice way. The mikveh lady should explain to her in a very nice way why the proper way to do is to cut the nails, but if they see that she's resisting, so then they should just let her go to the mikveh in violation of the Shulchan Aruch, because again, it's not a din. If a woman comes to the mikveh and she has a chatzitza on her, that's a much more serious problem. She doesn't want to remove the certain chatzitza, that becomes much, much more complicated. But if here, it's not a real davar chatzitza. The tefillah is going to be kosher. But afal pichein, it's not done behidura, so a tefillah that's not done in the most appropriate fashion, but bidiyev and mikra, then it's going to be kosher. You have to be very weary before pushing such a woman away. This opens up a whole discussion, the Gedolei HaPoskim, the Chazanish, and others. What if the stakes are a little bit more chomer? What if she comes with a mamshei davar chatzitz? It's a real bona fide chatzitza. So this becomes a little bit more complicated because on the one hand, min haTorah, it's probably not a chatzitza. Because min haTorah, it's highly unlikely that it's on rov of a body. In order to be a chatzitza deraisa, she got to come, she has to have just gone mudsliding and not taken a shower. So she's got mud from head to toe. That's called a chatzitza deraisa. She's got a bandage here, a thing here, a scab there, okay, whatever different possible chatzitzas are. At worst, it only be derabbanan. So a woman comes to use the mikvah, and we say to her, you should please remove this chatzitza. She says, I'm not interested, I don't want it for whatever reason, I'm too uncomfortable. I'm not removing this chatzitza. I want to go to the mikvah anyway. So now what do you do? So on the one hand, if we push her away too far, so she may not be so firm, we don't really know her that well. So she may say, okay, I'm not using the mikvah. Good, I'm going back to my husband without using the mikvah. So we just encourage the woman to violate an issa karis. On the other hand, as a communal policy, we are, so to speak, sanctioning going to the mikvah in a way that's not halachically acceptable. This is much worse than Reb Chaim Oizer. Reb Chaim Oizer's case was, the dievet is halachically acceptable. The dievet, the tefillah is ksher. We'll say she's Torah. Whereas over here, she's going to the mikvah with this chatzitza, the dievet, she is asura labayla. According to the psak and halach and shachanach, she is asura labayla, albeit midirabonim, midiraisa, she's really Torah. So this becomes a very, very touchy communal policy, individual psak kind of a question. As a communal policy, should we uphold the standards of halacha and say, we will not sanction using the mikveh in a way that violates the halacha? That statement is going to cause a woman to go ahead and violate an issakari, it's a much more serious issur. In effect, it would say, that's our problem, not our problem. Because we're telling you what to do, you're not listening, you go run your own, run halacha the way, run your life the way you want to. Or should we say no? That we have to be concerned with what she's doing, even though we're not sanctioning what she's doing, but we have to help her along to use a mikvah in a way that's basically not acceptable to halacha, but it's the lesser of two evils, because it's going to save her from violating a real iser, a deraisa, not that the other's not a real iser, but an iser kares. So this is a very, very tricky question. So the Chazon Ish talks about this shayla, as also a communal policy kind of a shayla. Chazon Ish raises the question, what's the din if you live in a place, mamish, in the middle of nowhere? There's no mikvah. There's no way of building a mikvah. Nobody has any funds. No one can support building a mikvah. It's impossible. It's not going to be a kosher mikvah here. You have a lot of people here who are on the borderline in terms of their observance. So some of the people are going to travel the 5 hours to the kosher mikvah. Many of them are not. So I can't build a mikvah here. Kaloch. That's impossible. What I could do, I could build a mikvah that min haTorah may be kosher. Again, how you do that, that's already you have to get the details of Mikvah's Mikvah, not for now. But you could potentially build a mikvah that, according to the absolute strict din deraisa, may actually be kosher, and may be relatively inexpensive to build. To build a mikvah that's going to actually be kosher, according to the standards of halach and shulchan aruch, all the dinim derabanan, is going to be significantly more expensive. Should I build such a mikvah or not? Should I go ahead and construct the mikvah and put a big sign on the mikvah? This mikvah is kosher min haTorah, but possum min derabanan. Namely, nobody really from should use this mikvah. Nobody who shomer Torah mitzvah should use this mikvah. On the other hand, for the few people who would otherwise not do anything, it's a good idea. I might as well build something that will salvage at least Isur HaKares. I'll save people from Isur HaKares, even though I'm in effect actively building something that's against the halacha. So the Chazon Ish raises that the question. So this is all the logical conclusion of this Reb Chaim Oizer. Again, this is one step worse, because here we're doing it. We are going ahead and we are hereby we're putting our, for lack of a better term, stamp of approval on a mikveh that's not really kosher. So should we or should we not do this? So this is
worse. It's a communal stamp to an individual.
Right.
Once a yachid.
That's right.
Each
that's
woman's
right.
Call, you know. Each woman that comes is an individual.
Right. Heter. Right. That's right. That's right. So this is definitely one step more removed. So this shaila becomes even more complicated. You know, as you can already begin to see how the individual slash communal issues It all started with cutting nails. We didn't get anywhere near gozes. We got so excited about this topic, we forgot to talk about gozes today. We have to put off until next year. But it started with Reb Chaim Moses Shuva. So Reb Chaim Moses was willing to be meichel on the minhag, so to speak, in order to make sure nobody violates it as a kares. Now we're suggesting maybe we could be meichel on a din derabanan of chatzitza. Now we're suggesting maybe we could actually build a mikvah in the first place. What if the stakes start to become a little bit higher? Issues become a little more complicated. What if a woman comes to you with the following? She wants to go to the mikveh. She's not supposed to be going to the mikveh now. You know why? Because she hasn't fulfilled what the halacha requires of her before going to the mikveh. Namely, she hasn't completed what's called Shiva Nekiyim. She hasn't counted 7 clean days. Now we know that although sometimes Shiva Nekiyim are required min haTorah, often, depending on when a woman's cycle was and when she actually experienced the bleeding, sometimes the requirement of Shiva Nekiyim are on him in the Rabbanan. Now, for us, Bizman Azeh, that's an irrelevant statement, because the halacha l'maisa, we paskim, b'lishum safek, that a woman can never, ever, ever go to the mikvah before counting 7 full clean days. But we know that in Lamdus, min haTorah, it's not always true. Min haTorah, sometimes she doesn't need 7 clean days, or she needs 7 regular days, even if she's bleeding during those 7 days. So the requirement of actual Shiva Nekiyim with Bedikas and the works and the whole picture that we're familiar with from Milchus Nida is sometimes needed min haTorah and very often only needed min derabbanan. A woman comes and says like this, listen, I'm ready to keep Hilchos Mikveh Deraisa, but I'm not quite there in Hilchos Mikveh Derabbanan. What do I do? What do I do? Go keep the real halacha. I'm not going to. So she says, if you don't let me go to the mikveh now, I'm going home, and I'm not going to the mikveh at all. Thereby, in effect, facilitating an issur kares. What do you do now? So, as an individual, so it's in her best interest to let her go to the mikveh. On the other hand, as a community, one can already begin to see where this may potentially lead. That if you go ahead and sanction the using of a mikveh under these circumstances, what's going to happen? The next one's also going to say, I'm not. So this becomes also a very, very tricky thing. So here we may also have to differentiate between communal versus individual policies. If a woman comes and says, listen, I'm not doing the right thing, should you let her use the mikveh? So many posts can say, let her use the mikveh. Explain to her that this is not correct in halacha, but it's better than nothing. But again, we would in no shape or form advocate. We're not going to go teach her because neither this way. But if it comes down to an individual woman, if it's this or nothing, then maybe we should advocate for this. And the last, the grand finale of these communal kinds of problems, what if a woman comes and says, listen, I want to use the mikveh, and we have the following concern, very legitimate concern. She says, I want to use the mikveh. What's the problem? She's not married. Now, what's her cheshbon to us? Her cheshbon is very simple. Listen, I'm going to violate, she doesn't say this out, but I'm going to violate whatever yisur I'm going to violate. I don't want to be chayv karis. And karis, indeed, is more serious than whatever the yisur, what's called panei abala panui is, of a couple having relations out of the context of marriage is also her, but karis, it's technically not, if she's not an ida. So she comes and says, listen, I want to use the mikvah. And we say, you can't use the mikvah, you're not married. So she says, okay, so I'm going to violate an issur karis. So the question is, should we look the other way and let her use the mikveh, knowing full well that she's going to go home and going to violate X Yisurim, X Y Z Yisurim with the person who she's living with? On the other hand, the miyot hara is that we're going to save her from an issur kares. As you can already begin to see, this is coming such a slippery slope, we just slip down to the bottom. So at what point do we say that we have to preserve communal standards? It's going to cost you an issur kares. That's your problem, not our problem. At what point do you say, listen, we're not going to advocate this, we're going to be mochem b'lev shalem, we're going to tell her this is wrong, but at the end of the day, we're not going to close the door on her. If she wants to go ahead and use the mikveh, we're not going to close the door. Every one of these scenarios that I just raised has happened, is happening as we speak, is happening in mikvahs across the world today. Every single one of these kinds of showers are coming up. And there are bottom up to decide each community. And the answer to these questions may not be the same in every community. There may be different standards, there may be different factors that go into this. These are very, very individualized decisions. They all start with the cutting of the nails. So I thought we would finish Gozes today, but it didn't quite happen. So hopefully, Metz Hashem, next year, we'll finish Gozes. So I think the plan.
What did the Chazon Ish say?
The Chazon Ish, he didn't conclude it. If I'm not mistaken, I think he just raises this question in light of the discussion about the nails. I don't remember what the other comes to.